Welcome to the deep dive. We know you want to get straight into interesting topics, really understand them, without all the fluff.
And today we've got something pretty fascinating lined up.
Yeah, we're diving into a proposal for some really cutting-edge research. It's all about oyster resilience and the tiny microbes living inside them.
Exactly. The source material we're looking at is this research proposal, and it's focused on understanding how these, microscopic partners help oysters cope with heat waves.
Which is a growing problem.
A big one. And this research has some serious real-world applications, especially when you think about oyster farming.
Absolutely. I mean, shellfish farming, it's a sustainable protein source, right? And it's big business in U.S. aquaculture.
Huge. And Washington State is actually leading the charge.
Yeah, I saw the figure, something like $166.4 million in farmed shellfish sales just in 2022 here.
That's right. So keeping these oysters healthy, making sure they're resilient, it's vital. For the economy, sure, but also for our food supply.
But there's this challenge, summer mortality.
Yeah, that's the term. Farmers can lose a lot of oysters during the warmer months. These die-offs seem linked to environmental stress.
Especially temperature increases, right?
Exactly. It's become such a concern that NOAA actually held a workshop about it, these unusual mortality events. They really want to figure out the causes.
And the proposal mentions that the top priority from that workshop was getting a mechanistic understanding. Basically, why it happens.
Precisely. And that's where this proposed research comes in, is zeroing in on a really key factor, the oyster microbiome.
Okay, so the microbes inside the oyster. This is where it gets interesting, like you said. The proposal really highlights how much influence these tiny communities have.
Profound influence on how the oyster handles stress, its energy levels, even how it deals with,
And it's
pathogens.
not just like stuff floating around in there then.
Not at all. This microbiome, this whole community of microorganisms that's actively involved, it helps with digestion, breaking down food.
So the oyster gets more nutrients.
Yeah, exactly. And some microbes even produce essential vitamins. The oyster can't make itself. It's a real partnership.
So it's definitely more than just helping with food. What else are these microbes doing for the oyster's health?
Well, think of them as a first line of defense.
Like a security force?
Kind of.
Yeah.
They compete with harmful bacteria for space and resources. That's called competitive exclusion.
Ah, okay. So they crowd out the bad guys.
Pretty much. And some of these beneficial microbes actually produce substances like natural antibiotics that can stop pathogens from growing.
Wow.
And there's even evidence they might sort of prime the oyster's own immune system, get it ready to fight off infections.
That's incredible, like a built-in defense system and pharmacy all rolled into one.
You could say that.
So this proposal is really focusing on linking that microbiome directly to how resilient the oysters are. That feels like where the big potential is.
Absolutely. There's already research suggesting these connections. Certain bacteria seem to be linked to oysters handling stress better. And oysters out in the wild, if they have a more diverse mix of microbes in their hemolymph, that's their internal fluid, they tend to be tougher.
More diverse is better then.
It seems so. And get this, even in hatcheries, the microbes an oyster larva encounters early on can affect how well it does later in life.
So its microbial start in life really matters long term. That's fascinating.
It really is. It leads to this idea of environmental memory potentially being carried by the microbiome.
Environmental memory, what does that mean exactly?
It's like the microbes somehow remember past conditions, and that influences how the oyster responds to stress later on. Still being explored, but
But the clues are there.
the clues are there. And maybe the strongest clue is that studies have found really different microbial communities in oyster families known to be resilient compared to families that are more susceptible to stress.
Okay, so the evidence is mounting, but the proposal also says we're, what, just scratching the surface here?
Definitely. We see these links, but there are big gaps. We don't know exactly which microbes are the key players for stability.
Or how these communities change over generations.
Right. Or the precise mechanisms behind that environmental memory idea. Lots to figure out.
But the proposal seems really ambitious here. It mentions the possibility that microbes could be driving, like adaptive plasticity, even rapid evolution.
It's a really exciting possibility, isn't it? That these tiny partners could be helping oysters adapt much faster than we thought. And this proposed research aims to tackle that head on. Really understand the microbiome's role in resilience.
Okay, so given all these questions, what's the main goal? What are the researchers actually trying to achieve with this proposed study?
The big picture goal is twofold, really. First, to clearly establish the impact of the microbiome on oyster resilience, especially against heat stress.
Right.
And second, and this is crucial, to develop practical tools. Things oyster farmers can actually use to identify beneficial microbial communities on their farms.
Tools for the farmers. That's key.
Yeah. Information that can feed directly into best practices to help boost survival.
So how are they planning to look into this microscopic world? The proposal talks about metaproteomics. What is that?
Metaproteomics. There's a really smart approach for this. Instead of just looking at the microbial DNA, like who's there, it looks at the proteins they're actually producing.
Proteins are the workers, right? Doing the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So by studying all the proteins from the whole microbial community, they get a picture of what the microbiome is actively doing. The functions, the molecular drivers of the oyster microbe interactions.
So function over just presence makes sense. And they've already done some preliminary work with this.
They have. A small experiment comparing oysters under normal conditions versus oysters exposed to heat stress for 5 days.
And what did they find?
Using metaproteomics, they detected proteins, well, peptides, which are fragments of proteins from 136 different microbial groups, archaea, bacteria, viruses.
Wow, a lot of players.
Yes. And the key finding, which they show in their figure two, is that the pattern of these peptides changed significantly with heat stress. Well, figure 2B, the Venn diagram, shows it nicely. There were 58 peptides common to both groups, but then 67 peptides were unique to the control oysters, and 73 were unique to the heat-stressed ones.
So different microbes, or at least different microbial activities, were dominant under heat stress.
Exactly. And figure 2A maps these peptides back to the different taxonomic groups. It strongly suggests heat stress really shifts what the microbiome is doing.
Okay, that's compelling preliminary data. The proposal also mentions the holobiont metabolism. What's a holobiont?
The holobiont is simply the host, the oyster in this case, plus all of its associated microorganisms. It's considered as one ecological unit.
The oyster and its microbes together.
Precisely. And understanding the metabolism of this whole unit, how it manages energy under stress, is really important. It reflects the combined efforts of the oyster and its microbial partners trying to cope.
And they have a way to measure this, something called a Re-Sagerin fluorescence assay.
Yes, and this seems like a really neat technique they're proposing to use. It's high throughput, so they can test lots of oysters quickly.
And it doesn't harm the oysters.
Correct. It's non-lethal. Re-Sagerin is basically a dye that changes color based on metabolic activity. More activity, more color change. You can see examples in figure 3.
I see the picture with the color variations.
And what's really powerful, as the graph in figure 3 shows, is that this measure, the change in fluorescence, strongly correlates with whether the oyster survives a later heat stress.
So higher metabolic activity measured by this assay predicts higher mortality. That seems backward.
It does seem a bit counterintuitive, but yes. The graph shows the probability of dying goes up with higher delta fluorescence, both at normal and high initial temperatures. It might reflect a stress state, maybe burning energy too fast.
Interesting. A useful, predictive, non-lethal test. Okay, so let's get into the core research plan. What are the two main objectives laid out in the proposal?
Okay, objective one is to really nail down the impact of the microbiome on oyster mortality during heat stress.
Find that causal link.
Exactly. And objective two is to develop rapid and accessible tools for assessing resilience on farms, specifically by identifying those beneficial microbial communities.
Let's break down objective one first, figuring out the microbiome's impact. What lab experiments are they proposing?
They're planning a pretty thorough set of lab trials. They'll use oysters from different farms in Washington, knowing these oysters will likely start with different microbiomes.
Real-world variation from the start.
Right. Then, in the lab, they'll expose these oysters to different temperature scenarios designed to mimic summer mortality events like constant heat, heat waves, fluctuating temps.
And they're not just watching. The proposal mentioned manipulating the microbiome.
Yes, that's a key part. They plan to actively try and change the oyster microbiomes.
How?
Using a few approaches. Antibiotics, to see what happens when you reduce the microbes. Probiotics, specifically adding Bacillus pumilus, which has shown some promise before. And even microbiome transplants.
Transplants. Like from a tough oyster to a less tough one.
That's the idea. Can you transfer resilience by transferring the microbiome? That's the question they want to answer.
Very direct. And what are they measuring to see if it works?
The main thing is survival after a standardized high-temperature stress test. Did the manipulation help the oysters survive better?
Okay.
And they'll correlate that survival data with detailed analysis of the microbial communities using 16S RNA gene sequencing to see who's there and metaproteomics to see what they're doing before and after the stress.
Got it. comprehensive lab work. Now, objective two, developing those tools for farmers. How does the proposal tackle that?
This involves moving out of the lab, partly. First, they plan extensive surveys on actual commercial oyster farms across Washington state. This would be in second year.
Taking it to the real world.
Exactly. They want to identify microbial signatures or oyster traits that consistently mark resilient oysters in situ under real farming conditions. Do the patterns they see in the lab hold up?
So they'll be sampling oysters on farms.
Yes, collecting data on their microbiomes, their condition, growth, survival, alongside environmental data like water temperature. They'd especially want to sample during any heat waves or mortality events.
To see if those good microbes really make a difference when things get tough on the farm.
Precisely. And the second part of this objective is actually building the tools.
Based on what they find.
Yes.
So?
Building on that research and assay, they'll look for other simple physiological indicators that correlate strongly with beneficial microbiomes. Maybe specific enzyme activities or gene expression markers.
Things that are easier and cheaper to measure than full microbiome sequencing.
That's the goal. Find reliable, cost-effective proxies that farmers can use without fancy lab gear.
That sounds incredibly useful for the industry.
It could be. And they emphasize co-designing these tools with the growers, making sure the diagnostic kits are user-friendly and practical for daily operations.
And they mentioned a digital platform, too.
Yeah, an open-access Shiny app. Farmers could input their assay results and get real-time feedback, maybe resilience scores, based on the models developed from the research.
Making the invisible visible and actionable. That's powerful.
That's the idea.
This whole proposal really emphasizes collaboration and impact. What about their engagement plan beyond the farmers?
It's quite detailed, actually. It's shown in Figure 4. Strong partnerships with growers are central, of course, but also broad science communication and K-12 education.
How are they planning to communicate the findings?
Multiple ways. Industry conferences, like the Pacific Coast Shellfish Growers Association, trade publications like Longlines Magazine, peer-reviewed scientific journals, naturally, national conferences.
They're covering all the bases.
And they're also planning public outreach, including videos and a new podcast series. It's called Invisible Waters, Microbes, Mollusks, and Meals.
Building on their existing podcast.
Yes, gene pooling, which Figure 5 mentions. So they have experience in that area.
Good to see that commitment to broader communication and the education part.
They have an existing partnership with Maritime High School and plan to develop new curriculum modules based on this research.
What kind of topics?
Things like oyster anatomy, aquaculture science, the role of microbes, stress impacts, resilience, reaching hundreds of students.
That's great.
They even plan a student version of that Shiny app tool so kids can work with real data. And as the timeline in Figure 6 shows, this engagement is planned throughout the proposed 2-year project.
It really sounds like a well-rounded proposal, focusing not just on the science, but also its application and dissemination. Thinking bigger picture, what are the broader implications here?
Well, it ties directly into sustainable aquaculture, obviously. Finding ways to farm resilient oysters is crucial.
Especially with climate change.
Absolutely. It's about climate adaptation for marine ecosystems and the industries relying on them.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, it highlights just how important these complex biological interactions are, the host and its microbes working together. We need to understand these systems better.
So wrapping up our deep dive into this proposal, the key takeaway seems to be the potentially massive yet underappreciated role of the oyster microbiome in helping them survive heat stress.
Definitely. And this proposed research uses some really innovative approaches, metaproteomics, that research and assay, aiming to not just understand this relationship, but also create practical tools for the industry.
Tools that could really make a difference in mitigating those summer mortality losses.
Exactly. It's about translating cutting-edge science into solutions that support sustainable seafood production. And for our listeners, I think it's a powerful reminder of the hidden microbial world and its influence on the health of our oceans and our food.
It really is. Which leaves us with a final thought for you, our listener. Consider this vast, unseen world of microbes, not just in oysters, but everywhere. How might these tiny partners be shaping the resilience of life all around us as our planet changes? And could harnessing their power be part of building a more resilient future?
A provocative question indeed.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into some very exciting potential research.